Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Good morning and welcome, everyone, to The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and we are here on this June 11, 2016, chugging right along, as Suzette just said, and we hope that you are chugging right along as well.
Heaven-bound train.
And we hope that you will not be derailed by wolves in sheep's clothing. In any case, we are glad that you are here with us today. I want to encourage you to go to our chat room today. I will be in just a few minutes putting up the usual websites, our WordPress website and our original website. We also encourage you, if you have any comments or questions, to go ahead today and chat those in with us. And I will pass that along to our group for their responses. So let us have prayer and let's get going. Father in heaven, thank you for granting us a peaceful and joyful day as we step aside from our regular duties to be with you in spirit and in truth. I thank you that your spirit is in the words of Jesus Christ, and that it is those words that we can know for certain will lead us to truth. Help us to be aware and self-honest today as we listen, as we communicate, and as we learn. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Good morning.
And good morning, Dr. Don and Larry. Nice to see both of you here. And Rick. Oh, yes, and Larry, Suzette's
Larry.
Lovely and gracious husband.
Lovely.
Yes, exactly.
Lovely.
You know,
no, handsome.
Well, you know.
He's not lovely, he's handsome.
Well, lovely is a characteristic
all right, guys,
of the...
Get on with it. Please. Great. Okay.
Good morning, Rick.
Yesterday, I presented a concept which I have not thought of before or heard from anyone else. And that is, if a wolf can disguise itself as a sheep, then can a sheep disguise itself as a wolf? And if so, why would it do that? I'm currently working on part 6 of the grand plan. Part 6
sounds like a book to me.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Part 6 will be covering primarily the 7 messages to the 7 assemblies found in Revelation chapter 2 and 3.
Yeah.
What I say there in one part is that we are all sheep. And it doesn't matter what we believe, what we practice, that determines whether we're a sheep or not. We, all of humanity, are like sheep. I also take great care and hopefully enough time in part six to explain the importance of being able to think in two different realms. To think, to operate, and to understand. We live in a physical existence, in a physical body. Our physical body allows us to interact in the physical world. But our physical body does nothing to help us interact in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is the heavens. That is where the spiritual beings dwell. A created being who was created in the heavens is a spiritual being. A created being was created here on this earth from the earth is a physical, tangible, flesh and blood being. To my knowledge, there are no created spiritual beings from this earth. There are spiritual beings who dwell on this earth, but they are not from this earth, and they dwell in a different realm on this earth. They dwell in the spiritual realm. So what we must do if we hope to know and understand the truth is we need to be able to learn through spiritual information. Spiritual information is given to us physical beings in what we would call a parable account. And what we are tasked with doing, and this is not an impossible task, but we need to understand the process which will lead to an understanding. This is like what Jesus said, that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Physical things are physically discerned. Now, we have no problem with looking out into the world with our eyes and ascertaining the identity of the objects of our vision. We can see trees and birds and streets and other people, houses, buildings, and various different animals, all of which we understand to be what we see them as. But for spiritual, there it's different because we cannot see into the spiritual realm. Our eyes do not discern spiritual realm. But yet we need to be able to know what is in the spiritual realm. So how do we go about doing that? The Son of God and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit work together to give us insight into spiritual matters. They use physical representations. Some say symbols, some say symbolic representations of physical articles. That when we understand the meaning of the symbol, we can make the connection to understanding the spiritual realm. Now, I know that you have all heard of the kingdom of the heavens. What would you expect the kingdom of the heavens to consist of? At least those who are in the kingdom of the heavens, what would they either be able to do, or what would they be? Remember, those that dwell in the heavens are what type of beings? Spiritual. Those that are from the earth and dwell on the earth are physical, flesh and blood beings. So would it stand to reason that a kingdom of the heavens would be a kingdom of spiritual beings?
Yeah.
Okay. But would they necessarily have to dwell in the heavens? In fact, they would be a kingdom in the world, but not of the world. And the king of this kingdom did something amazing. The king is an eternal being. He is the Spirit of God, who was the Son of God, for God's Spirit birthed him, if you will. And like I say, that if you haven't read the article I wrote titled Elohim, I encourage you to read that, because it will help you understand where I'm going with this. But the king of the kingdom of the heavens / kingdom of Elohim who is a spiritual being in the heavens, from the heavens, came to this earth and took on the form of flesh and blood. In fact, became flesh and blood without losing his spiritual qualities. What he said that all of those who would listen to him and follow through with what he said would become spiritual beings, just as he had become a flesh and blood being. So in order for him to become a flesh and blood being, he was born of a woman who was flesh and blood. And he entered the world the same way all of us entered the world.
No, because he had no father.
No, I didn't say conceived as we are. I said entered the world. I said we entered the world through our mother's birth canal.
Yeah.
I didn't say he was conceived in the same way that we were. I said he entered the world in the same way that we did. And what he said was, is that if we want to enter the spiritual realm where he lives, we must do it through a spiritual mother. We must be born of a spiritual mother who is from above. And that's why the Son of God told Nicodemus, unless a man is born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
I don't know if my mic's on or not. I stepped away. But that was a good point to have come up and made, is the difference between entering this world, like Larry brought up. It was a good point to have made so that our listeners clearly caught the difference there.
Right. I was not talking about conception. Yes. I was talking about how we enter. The door, if you will, is our mother's womb. The door to the kingdom of the heavens is the by a spiritual mother, because we were all born of flesh and blood mother. But that doesn't get us into the kingdom of the heavens and the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the woman who gives birth to those who enter the kingdom of Elohim. Now, Elohim, as you know, is the plural word used in Hebrew for God. And in fact, it means gods, capital G-O-D-S, because there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are a family. We are told that the baby, or not baby, say the zygote, the infant in Mary's womb was there because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made that possible. So we, humanity, the sheep, have a duty, because there are other sheep running around who do not belong to the Good Shepherd, but they believe they belong to the Good Shepherd and can prove it. Turn to John chapter 10. One of my favorite chapters in John. This is the response the Son of God gave to the crowd around him after the man who was born blind was given his sight, after they went through all of the sham of vetting and proving that this man who was blind because he was a sinner was still blind spiritually because he was given his sight by the one who they had already determined was a lawbreaker, and therefore he was a sinner, namely the Son of God. John chapter 10, this is what the Son of God says, starting at verse 1. I tell you most solemnly, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but gets in some other way, is a thief and a brigand. Who would be entering a sheepfold?
The farmer or the dog?
Well, I would suspect it would be sheep. That would be my suspicion, is that sheep enter the sheepfold, and that what he's saying is that not all the sheep that go into the sheepfold have come through the door, but they're sheep. The gatekeeper lets him in. The sheep, this is critical. The sheep hear his voice. Whose voice is he referring to? The good shepherd.
Yeah.
Yes. One by one, it's interesting, one by one, he calls his own sheep, leads them out. When he has brought out his flock, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They never follow a stranger, but run away from him. They do not recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus told them this parable, but they failed to understand what he meant by telling it to them. So here is our first stop. What we have is, we have a sheepfold that has a gate. There are sheep in the sheepfold who didn't get in there through the door, the gate. So the sheepfold is full of sheep. But not all of those sheep came to be in the sheepfold by going through the door. Those that did not go through the door are thieves and brigands. So what did the gatekeeper, or let's say, what did the shepherd do? The good shepherd called to his sheep and did what? Led them out. And then went ahead of them so that they could follow him. And how was it that they were able to follow him?
They knew his voice.
They recognized his voice. They never follow a stranger, but they run away from him. They do not recognize the voice of strangers. Now, what I believe he means by recognize is they do not recognize that one who's speaking as a shepherd of the sheep. Mm-hmm. It's not that they can't tell who he is, it's that they can't. They don't recognize what he is saying because it is different than what their shepherd says. So there is a difference in what is said. Not understanding, but in the words that are being said. So let's say that here we have this group of sheep. The good shepherd has spoken the words of truth that sheep can understand, and the sheep understand and they follow the good shepherd. But there are sheep that don't recognize. In fact, they resist and reject those words and say, that is not a shepherd. You need to beware of that one. Mm-hmm. That one is going to lead you to destruction. We know because we have heard the voice of the shepherd, the true shepherd. So a wolf disguised as a sheep, spiritually, and what I mean by spiritually is the guise they put on consists of the teaching they espouse. So the teaching they espouse will, the sheep will be spiritually clothed with the product of the yarn it has, that has been spun. Now, do you know what I'm saying there?
Play on the word yarn.
It is.
Yarn as in story.
Yes. In John 10, starting with verse 22. Now, I encourage you to read the whole chapter, but because of time constraints, I'm going to have to just focus on the primary subject. It was the time of the Feast of Dedication was being celebrated in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple walking up and down in the portico of Solomon. The Jews gathered around him and said, "How much longer are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus replied, "I have told you, but you do not believe." First and most important point is, do you or do you not believe the truth? Well, everybody says, of course I believe the truth. Why would I believe a lie? But is what you believe true? Well, of course it is. It's what my parents believed and my grandparents and my great-grandparents, and I can go back generations.
It's interesting to me, Rick, how pervasive that attitude is among true believers. I just saw this morning something about friend of mine just saying, I no longer believe in creationism because it just doesn't fit the, you know, the model of science. Well, we've talked about that. There's an article that you wrote on the old website about it. And the fact is, when we are confronted with fact that disagrees or conflicts with our belief, not belief system, but with our beliefs themselves, oftentimes we will just ignore them in favor of those beliefs and call those beliefs fact. The facts are not belief. The facts are what promote and develop belief.
Right. So belief is not the end all to be all. You can firmly believe in a lie
if it's the truth,
but believe it's the truth. And you can have a volume full of support for the lie that you believe in, up to and including those that have been communicated with by God and have been proven right, have demonstrated veracity to your satisfaction, and you have no questions. So you say, you can believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe.
It comes down to what you and who you accept as authority. Mm-hmm. And this friend of mine accepts the scientific perception of how we came around, you know, 4 million years of development or whatever, because that is convenient for his perspective. See, what I'm saying is this, and we're working now on a forum again. Don't know why I did that, but you know, it's turning out to be interesting. And the people on this forum, this club that they have, if you speak out against the authority of the church that they represent, even if what you say is true, they will see it as a threat. And this is exactly what you were telling us earlier, Rick, about Jesus being a sheep, being the shepherd.
The Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God.
Who is the good shepherd.
Right. And appearing to these people that he came to teach, appearing as if he was a wolf.
Spiritually. Because
as
of what he was saying.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm saying is the important thing is to be able to discern spiritual things. And the only way we have that allows us to discern correctly is through the words of information. So the words that we choose to believe will determine how we see the spiritual characteristics, the spiritual reality of that which we are assessing. So the Son of God said, I have told you. What did he tell them? Their question was, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us if you're the Christ. What they're actually saying is, declare yourself the king, the ruler, and sit on the throne.
Put the sign up.
Why are you keeping us in suspense?
Yeah.
See, it was their expected, the expectation based upon their paradigm that they were saying that he was not telling them that he was the Christ, because he had already said he was, but he wasn't doing what they had expected him to do, and all he was doing was upsetting them. So he said, I have told you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name are my witnesses. You know, you think back earlier in John in chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night and he says, we know you are a teacher who is sent from God because no one can do the wonders that you do. And so Jesus here just says, the witnesses are the works that I do, so you know. But see, they wanted him to declare himself king. They wanted a king. They wanted him to throw off the yoke of Rome. And yeah, they could iron out the details later. But you do not believe. Why? Because you are no sheep of mine.
Wow.
He's not saying they are not sheep.
Right.
Wow. He's saying they are not his sheep.
Hmm.
Now, some would say, well, but these are the lost sheep. No, he doesn't go looking for sheep that are not his, because if they were not his and he corralled them in his sheep pen, he would be a thief, because he would be stealing sheep. Not good. Lost sheep are those who are lost, but when they hear his voice, they recognize it, and they go to his voice, and they are no longer lost. Why would he have lost sheep? Because he entrusted his sheep to hired hands. And what did the hired hands do? The wolf came, the hired hands take off, and the wolf scatters the flock. You getting it?
Yeah.
The sheep that belong to me listen to my voice. Mm-hmm. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never be lost. And no one will ever steal them from me. The Father who gave them to me is greater than anyone. No one can steal from the Father. The Father, here it comes, and I are one. John 10, 30. The Jews fetched stones to stone him. So Jesus said to them, I have done many good works for you to see. Works from my Father. For which of these are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, We are not stoning you for doing a good work, but for blasphemy. You are only a man and claim to be God.
Sounded like a case of words speaking louder than actions, as opposed to actions speaking louder than words.
That's right.
And the other thing is this, wouldn't this have been a perfect spot for Jesus to declare that in reality, my works don't matter because eventually you're all going to be saved anyway because I'm changing the dynamic of how you're all saved.
If we're reading between the lines, which is where the spiritual understanding comes. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
What is he saying here? For what good work are you stoning me? We're not stoning you for a good work. We're stoning you for blasphemy. Because you, only a man, claim to be God. Was he only a man? You see, that's how they perceived him.
Was he only claiming to be God? I mean, if he wasn't claiming, was he, again, you're right about having to look at things kind of 180 degrees out of phase with what you're hearing, and it does make a huge difference.
See, it was not because of his miraculous work in the physical realm, which is where they existed and all they saw. It was for his words that were presenting the spiritual realm to those who are his sheep. His sheep were not picking up stones to stone him. The sheep of the evil one was doing that, but they were doing it feeling fully justified in their actions because They could not see into the spiritual realm because they were blind to the spiritual realm. That's why this follows the account of the man born blind. Jesus says right out there, it was not because of his parents' sin or his sin that he was born blind, but so that the works of God could be demonstrated. When we are born in this world, we are not born blind, typically. But we are born blind spiritually. When we enter this world, we are born blind, and that is why we see nothing but darkness in the spiritual realm. Then we learn from our parents, from our teachers, from our pastors, from the evangelists. We learn from all of those who say they know what is in the spiritual realm. And they will give us the benefit of their knowledge so that we can see in the spiritual realm. The problem is that that spiritual realm that they see is darkness. How did this happen? Because they listened to a sheep disguised, well, they listened to a wolf disguised as a sheep,
right.
And they are a sheep that is wearing wolf's clothing, but everyone has been convinced it's a sheep. So they don't see the wolf's clothing. Why do they not see the wolf's clothing?
They don't have the spiritual understanding.
Right. That is exactly what I'm saying. Because clothing is spiritually discerned. And your spiritual discernment vision is a product of your spiritual understanding. So when you look at a wolf through the spiritual understanding that has been given to you by a wolf, you see a sheep. When you look at a sheep that doesn't fit your spiritual paradigm, you see a wolf. Now, what is the duty of a sheep who sees the Good Shepherd as a sheep? Is to convince the other sheep that the sheep shepherd they are following is in fact a wolf in the spiritual clothing of a sheep.
What you're describing here sounds like a very disorienting world.
Yeah.
How does one overcome and regain a proper orientation?
Where darkness is light, and life is death, and death is life.
Is this where the necessity for another figure of speech or metaphor, oil, comes in?
Yeah, well, yes. Spiritual oil. Spiritual oil. Because there is spirits who give you oil, but it is oil that will consume you with fire. And there's a spirit who will give you oil which will cleanse you with fire. There is a big difference. Paul says that in order to live, we must die. And he infers that the reason that Jesus lived after his death was because he died and God gave him life. Did God give him life?
From the very beginning.
Jesus said, "No one takes it away from me, and no one gives it to me. I lay it down willingly, and I take it up again." See, what Paul tries to inform us is that we are two beings. We are flesh and blood, which is one being, and flesh and blood has its own consciousness. It is an earth consciousness. It is decaying. It is evil. It has no good intent whatsoever. And encapsulated, living in this as you would in an earthen jar, is a spirit consciousness, your spirit consciousness. And the only way that your spirit can be freed from this earthen jar is to break the jar. That's what he says happens when you die. You die and your spirit is released to go into the spirit of Christ. And you live in Christ. Your spirit lives in Christ. So that now that your body, which of course didn't really die, is still animated, and your spirit consciousness in your flesh is still there, so you still see yourself in this world and you're still moving around in this world and so on. What you need to realize is that your spirit that had been in your body is now in Christ. And that the life you're living now in the flesh is actually your flesh consciousness, which will remain until you have actually died. So you're in Christ, but you still continue your life on here in the flesh, but just remember your spirit is in Christ. See, the spirit sets you free so that the life you live in the flesh is just that. To those that believe that and those who want to believe that, when you point out to them that this is not what the Good Shepherd taught, what they will tell you is that what the Good Shepherd taught applies to the Jews. That what the Good Shepherd taught has, you know, been misinterpreted, misunderstood. How can we really know that's what the Good Shepherd taught? You know, it's been a long, long time. Those words have been translated and transliterated and so on. And after the resurrection, we have a new covenant. And the new covenant allows our spirit, which is released at our spiritual death, to go into Christ, and we have life. That's the new covenant. We're not under the law, we're under grace. So it doesn't matter to them, because as long as they believe, and you remember, I have told you, but you do not believe. But they must have believed something. What is it that they believed? That the Christ, when he came, the Messiah, when he came, was going to overthrow the oppressive Roman power, take his seat on the throne of his father David, and there would be a divine kingdom on earth, and he would fit their paradigm according to their understanding of the law of Moses. That's what they believed. And it was that same certain, strong belief that allowed them to, with clear conscience, hang him on a cross. Their king. Strong belief does not sanctify the soul, never has, and it never will. Only the fire that is supported by the oil, the spiritual oil of our spiritual mother, the Holy Spirit, the holy fire that will cleanse us of all lies, all sin, everything that is contamination, everything that contaminates us, so that we at the end are pure and holy in fact and not in belief. So you see how important it is to make sure that the sheep that we see is truly a sheep and not a wolf. And the only way we will know that for certain is if we know the truth. And we cannot allow ourselves to be like Pilate. And when the Son of God said to Pilate, "So you are a king." And the Son of God said, "You say correctly, but I am a king. For this reason I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. And all those who are of the truth hear my voice." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" In John chapter 8, starting with verse 31. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples." Now, his disciples are his sheep. Mm-hmm. They can't be anything other than sheep because their shepherd is a sheep. Spiritually. So you have to understand, we are talking spiritually, and that's why he emphasized the importance of his word, because only through his word will we be able to have accurate spiritual discernment to tell the difference between a spiritual sheep and a spiritual wolf. You will learn the truth by making his word your home. You will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? You know, a lot of people believe that this freedom is freedom from the law, like Paul teaches. I'm no longer under law, I'm under grace. He doesn't leave them in the dark about what they're freed from. The Jews kind of cut him off there when he says, you know, the truth and the truth will make you free. They answered, we are descended from Abraham. We have never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean? Now, is this response from a physical perspective or a spiritual perspective? It has to be a physical perspective because what do they say? We've never been slaves of anyone, but indeed they have been, but in the spiritual sense. Jesus replied, I tell you most solemnly, everyone who commits sin is a slave. Did you get that? Everyone who commits sin is a slave. What does Paul teach us about sin? Sin is a product of the flesh.
Right.
We all sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, a slave's place in the house is not assured, but the son's place is assured. If the son makes you free, how would the son make you free? Through his word, which is the truth. If you know, learn the truth, it will make you free. Okay? It's not a gift. It's a process of learning. I know that you are descended from Abraham, but in spite of that, you want to kill me. So what's he, see, he's saying you need to understand spiritually, and the only way you can understand spiritually is to allow yourself to understand spiritually. This is a very important topic, and everyone really needs to take a serious look at themselves and say, do I see the physical or do I see the spiritual? And am I able to ascertain the difference between them? We must allow ourselves to see into the spiritual realm based upon the information, which is the truth that was given by the one who came here from heaven to testify to the truth so that we would have it and be able to tell the difference.
Thank you, Rick. That was very good. And I hope our listeners will at some point go back and download this as an MP3. You can listen to it all over again. We encourage you to join us again next week on Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Please go to our websites at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SM for lots of good reading. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld, wishing you a wonderful, happy Sabbath and a good day, and we'll see you all next week. So long for now.